Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for August the 6th, 2017. I'm Paul White, and we are journeying through Paul's book, Romans, chapter 11. We've arrived in verse 18. Yesterday, we dealt with 16, 17, and the first phrase of 18. Almost inexplicably, the translators cut verses 17 and 18 in the middle of a sentence. That sentence ends, "Do not boast against the branches," then begins a new sentence. So I want to start at the new sentence because we dealt with that transition, that little fragment at the top of 18 yesterday. Romans 11, 18, "But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root supports you." So basically, we're talking about Gentiles who've been grafted in to the tree. The Gentiles are called the wild olive tree, or a little closer to the Greek, the wild olive shoot. I think the ESV gets that a little better. And if you need reference, you can go back to Jeremiah 11, you can go back to Hosea 14, and you can see Israel being talked about as an olive tree. And sometimes, and this is more horticulture than spiritual, but they would take wild olive shoots and graft them into cultivated olive trees, and it would bring like a freshness to them. So the cultivated olive trees could lose a bit of their freshness, and the wild shoot would do that. But I don't know that Paul's trying to stretch into that. I think he's just simply making a statement he repeats in verse 24 when he talks about being us who are contrary to the nature of the tree being grafted into the tree. I think that's what he means by wild shoot. It's not that the Gentiles bring fresh vitality to Israel as much as it is that we are outside of the circumcision promise, and yet, boom, here we come being grafted in like that wild shoot. So if that be the case, then 18, which could stand alone, if not for that unnecessary fragment at the top of the verse. If you're going to boast, remember that it's not you that supports the root, it's the root that supports you. In other words, don't be arrogant, because our salvation is a grace-based salvation, not a works-based salvation, which Paul's been establishing over and over and over in the book of Romans. So if Gentiles have come in, it's been entirely by grace, therefore there's no way they can boast. And remember, this is very Paul. I mean, Paul's writing this, but this is so Paul in the way he talks. Because do you recall this from 1 Corinthians 1? "You are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." So Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians, Christ is everything in you, but don't glory in yourself, glory in the Lord. Or remember, as Paul says it to the Galatian church, "God forbid that I should glory except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I'm crucified unto the world and the world is crucified unto me." How can I brag? In other words, I didn't do anything. In fact, the very next verse there, that was Galatians 6:14, "God forbid I should glory." 6:15, "In Christ, it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but it's a new creation that matters." So there's no reason for you to brag. What'd you do? You just believed. You didn't do anything. You believed. So since the Gentiles have come in entirely by grace, then they don't boast, and neither should they despise Jewish believers, because that's an arrogance that would be very related to what pride the Jews had, which led to their hardening. And remember, way back in Romans 2, let's sneak back for a moment. And yes, we keep going back and forward, back and back and back again, because this is all one interconnected thing. It doesn't all stand by itself. Romans 2, 17, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God." And so way back in chapter 2, when Paul tries to establish the Jews as being as guilty as the Gentiles, arrogance in being Jewish is one of the things he talks about. So when you get to Romans 11, and Paul has now grafted the wild olive shoot into the tree, Gentiles have come in to true Israel, he says, don't brag, you didn't do anything, you just believed. And he said, also, don't brag, because that's the exact same problem that your Jewish friends had, in that they boasted that they had something. You don't support the root supports you. So it's God doing the work, it's not you doing the work. Israel had fallen into the trap of thinking that they could do the work. They had fallen into the trap of thinking that righteousness could come out of them doing the work. Remember, that's that tail end of Romans 9. For the last three chapters, Paul's been working against that concept and has now come to the conclusion, look, Gentiles have come in, but Gentiles, look, don't fall into the same trap that the Jewish people fell into, thinking that they had something because of heritage. And I think this should be a warning to us now, that let's not fall into this trap that thinks because my daddy went to church here and my grandpa built this church, that I have got something from God, or I have such a heritage that I have received something based upon bloodline or preference. This is all a work of God's grace, activated by your faith. It's not an honor to your dad or your grandpa. This is not a legacy thing. This is a grace work. You don't support the root supports you. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. 20, well said. So Paul admits, the Gentiles might say, hey, branches were broken off so that I could get in. Absolutely, he says. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Let's deal with this for just a moment, and there's only so deep that I'm going to be able to dig into, and we'll pick this up with verse 21 tomorrow. But what Paul says in verse 19, hey, you Gentiles think you broken off, Israel was broken off so you could be grafted in. It's actually true. The Jewish branches were broken off as an act of righteous judgment upon their unbelief. And the Gentiles have been grafted in as a matter of grace, and therefore as a matter of faith. And this engrafting is not based on superior quality in Gentile people. It is not that God likes Gentiles better or prefers the way Gentiles act better. And we can get into that trap in grace too. See God move through grace and think, well, God prefers this kind of person. I did a sermon recently where I dealt with the fact that Jesus ate lunch with Pharisees. And one of my opening statements was, most of us would agree that in the ancient world, eating a meal with someone meant we're cool. And we love the idea that Jesus ate with, you know, pimps, prostitutes, and sinners. And we go, well, he was cool with them. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that in the Gospels, in more than one occasion, Jesus also sat down and ate with Pharisees. And if you're going to use the metric that if Jesus sits down and eats with someone, he's cool with them, don't stop using that metric when it's time to sit down and eat with Pharisees. Because Jesus did not prefer prostitutes to Pharisees. He loved people. It's just that so many times the prostitutes would admit who they were, while the Pharisees had a lot of masks, a lot of hypocrisies. But Jesus doesn't prefer one over the other. And don't think to this day that there's this preferential treatment with God, that he wishes he had this out of you because he gets that out of someone else. His love is equal. His love is kind. It's patient. It's long-suffering. We would do well to remember this. All right, we'll talk more about this verse and go into verse 21 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.